Oppdag den utrolige suksessen til podcasten Et bedre skolenorge. Vårt omfattende materiale bestående av podcastepisoder, blogginnlegg og bok har blitt omfavnet av lærere, fagseksjoner, høyskoler og hele kommuner. Fra Finnmark til Agder, fra Bergen til Indre Østfold har profesjonsutøvere bekreftet nytteverdien. Lytt til vår inspirerende podcast Et bedre skolenorge og bli med i bevegelsen som forbedrer skolen innenfra til det beste for barn og unge.
Bedre skolenorge. Skolenorge.
Velkommen til et bedre skolenorge. I denne episoden så skal vi snakke om læringskultur og hvordan den finske læringskulturen er. Vi befinner oss nå i Tampere, som er en by som ligger halvannen times nord for Helsinki. Det er en by med rundt 230.000 innbyggere. Trikkene går, bygningene er fra 1800-tallet. Jeg vet ikke om det er barokke bygninger, men de har buer og ornamenter utenpå. Jeg tror det er barokk stilen heter. Jeg våkna opp i dag på et sted som heter Marriott Hotel og kikka utover himmelen, og da så jeg sola bryte gjennom skylaget. Og det er litt sånn jeg føler meg nå, som jeg skal lære om den finske læringskulturen, fordi jeg har et inntrykk at norsk læringskultur er veldig mye preget av det digitale, og jeg lurer på om vi går litt for langt frem, og at vi forter oss litt for mye, at vi kanskje burde gå litt fort, litt saktere. Men jeg skal prøve å finne ut nå hvordan den finske læringskulturen er, og da skal jeg snakke med de som er en stor del av den finske læringskulturen, og det er Seppo Linna Ranta, som er rådgiver, og så er det Teija Havana, som er religionslærer og lærer i psykologi, og så har vi Heidi Jervinen, som er engelsk- og spansklærer, og så har vi Mona Lehto, som går i VG3, og så har vi Elias Manninen, som også går i VG3. Vi gleder oss til denne episoden. Bli med og hør videre.
Et bedre skolenorge. Skolenorge.
Can you please describe like the key elements of the learning culture in the Finnish schools? Is it possible to say something about what's the most important to create the kind of right culture in the classroom? Is it similar rules though all the teachers would have, like no phones, no... What's the Finnish learning culture like in a upper secondary school like this one?
It's hard to kind of describe from within, kind of, but now I started to think about when I meet teachers from other countries, what would they say? And usually what they say is that, okay, your students seem pretty independent and the setting seems pretty informal and there are not that many rules. I'd say that's probably something that they would be asking, like, are they allowed to go outside of the school building for the break, or are they allowed to go to work somewhere else, or how are the school days so short, or something like that. That's probably something that they would ask, and maybe that is the case. I guess it's quite a bit of independence or freedom in classes in general.
I totally agree with Seppo. I think that independence and students to be self-determined during the school years is like a great value in Finnish education, and you can see it with the younger kids already. They come from the school, they are 6, 7, 8 years old, and they have their own home key just in their pocket, and they go to the home and prepare some snacks. To be independent is a big value, very valued in Finnish education and in culture also.
Yes, and as for schools, I think, as I mentioned earlier and Seppo said as well, it is very quite informal between us teachers and the students, but also amongst us teachers, we mostly like each other. We even spend time with each other outside work. We might wear woolly socks in school. Not everyone wears shoes, for example, because they feel like they are somehow restrictive. So I think this is quite an informal setting. We are on good terms with our principal. We can go and talk to her about everything. And
And more about the relaxed atmosphere. So I feel like, at least for me, it's way easier to just ask the teacher about different questions, or if you wanna, if you need more elaboration on other topics that you haven't understood, then you can just go up to the teacher, like, just like, I don't know, ask more if you just need to. And it's something that the being just friendly and relaxed with each other kind of like it's a key element to that. But also school for us is kind of like another home, maybe even, because I feel like every day I just see people sleeping on the couches and just like, you know, being in their woolly slacks and like dressing very, very like informally and just like in a relaxed way. And just like everyone can kind of like be themselves here, or that's at least what everyone would like. But yeah, and then I also feel like Finns value just school in itself too. So we kind of, we don't look down upon people who are interested in topics, but we are most like, or like we value intelligence too. So that's something that, you know, you don't have to be embarrassed if you want to be active during classes or anything. So at least in our school, that's very, very good.
Good.
And if you don't want to be active on the classes, you, I think that like the just the culture is also in a big role. So you can join to the events of student council or tutors and go to the parties with your schoolmates and stuff like that. So I think that that's also one big motivating thing for someone who wouldn't like that much, like going to the classes.
What kind of parties and stuff is possible to go to?
So tutors, we organize some, like, you know, football tournaments, volleyball tournaments, basketball tournaments, whatever tournaments you can just think of. Then we have other, or like, we might have some like unofficial like parties that just some people from our school are going to organize and then sell tickets and just like, you know, free time activities.
Yeah, then we have the prom or the...
Yeah, like kind of the prom, yeah. Mm. Yeah, so that too is something that like just makes you feel like the school is like your place. Or
yeah, it's like more than just a school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more like a community or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember I went to a school in, it's in 1997 or something. And then there was this kind of parties, not with alcohol, but with just, I don't know, it was, we were a bit younger, maybe 14, 15 years. And then there was music and people were dancing and stuff like that. And one time there was this guy who just started to rap, and it was not usual at the time that somebody could rap. So I was like, what is this? I was just so amazed. So some years later, I learned myself to rap. And then I was kind of that was a good situation for me to become like the boss of the, at least that night. So that was, to me, that was really important. And I, of course, I didn't mention it earlier, but my main plan was to become a rap star. But then I had to have a job, but I thought it was so boring to work at this factory thing. So I rather started to study to become a teacher. So, but then it seemed like my plan A didn't work out. So that's how I become a teacher, but that's a whole different story. Yeah,
I think the games and tournaments and events that the tutors and the student council organizes, I think that's also a part of our learning culture. Those are events for the whole school. Even teachers take part in them. Sometimes we make a fool out of ourselves in front of the students, though that also sort of lessens the gap between us, I guess.
Mm.
And I think it creates a better atmosphere.
Mm.
And also the food. I like it very much. In this test week, I had just three tests, and I still coming every day eating here. So I can see some of my friends, and then I'm also having this free buffet. And my mom always says to me that, you don't have to go to classes, but go to eat.
But isn't it in Norway, it's this rule that you can't, you have to show up at least 90% of the time, unless you can lose the grade in the subject. You don't have that system here.
It's not exactly that, but there are rules concerning absences. But like during the final week, they have days when they don't have school. And I think that's what Elias was talking about.
Okay.
So basically in the regular school work, yes, you cannot be absent, but that's different during the final week.
Yeah.
Just as a disclaimer, I know it all sounds very rosy. And I think I agree with most of the stuff, I mean, especially with our school. At the same time, I'm very thankful for the students that we have, because I also realize that we have very talented students. And this is a big reason why the atmosphere is the way it is. And I also know that there have been researches that show that the Finnish students don't always enjoy so much their time at school, even less than in many other European countries. And I think that's something that we need to work towards. I think it's been realized, but still, especially in the secondary school, I think we need to find tools to kind of tackle that. But I'd say again, in the upper secondary, it's a bit easier. And I'm really happy the way it works here.
Mm. Yeah.
I just saw yesterday in the news there was an example of from some school that the older students, they were ninth graders, were giving like dance recessions for the young students, and they were all enjoying it so much. So during the recession, the kids go to the gym hall, and the older students are performing and giving that dance lesson, and they are having a lot of fun. But I think all those extra curriculum like activities are really important when it comes to the learning culture as well, because there are a lot of like skills that the students learn, and you feel competent, you get that kind of self-esteem that okay, I can do these kind of things, and if I know that I am being able to do those things, it enhances the motivation in general also. So I think we need to think about the ways how we can promote the feeling of competence of the students.
Yes, and also after COVID, the sort of the class spirit and everything has been non-existent, since we weren't at school first, and when we weren't allowed to mingle. Everyone just stayed in their own classrooms and didn't speak to anyone, and let alone go near anyone. So it's been our priority as well for the last few years to bring the atmosphere back.
Mm. I just want to ask, because it's this Norwegian researcher I know who is called Selma Therese Lyng, and she has been studying quite a few schools to realize what makes a good school, like in according to learning and to socialization, so to make it a good place to learn and a good place to be. And she found that first you have to have a set of norms or rules that everybody knows, so you know what's okay and what's not. And the second one is that you need to have good relationships between the students and also between teachers and students. And of course, teachers and teacher leader also. And so it's first norms or rules, and then it's relations. And afterwards, it's all the things you are talking about, the social things, the extra curriculum activities. Because if you don't have that, she says, then there will always be this bullying going on, or some people who feel invisible or feel like they're not part of the whole school. So that's at least what she has been saying. And I can say from the experience of my own school, sometimes we have been too focused on the relationship building, and not too focused on the norms and the rules, and what will happen after a while when the grading process is starting, then they might get lower grades than they were hoping for, and then it's like the teacher is turning into the bad guy after a while. So we took a step back from that, so we started be a bit more clear on the expectations and norms and the rules and stuff, just to build the culture, and then work on the relationships afterwards, because then we think it's becoming a more fair kind of environment for the students. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think this is a problem, at least here.
No.
There are these events, but they don't happen all the time. There are, I don't know, one every month or every 2 months, and it takes up one lesson, so it doesn't really interfere with your studies. Of course, if you are organizing them, then you might have to skip more classes, but then it's also up to you to be responsible and make up for the things that you've missed because of the organization.
Teachers are different also in the way they relate to students, but as the students said a while ago, I think, well, I feel like many of the students are like my friends, or I really like them, but still I'm a professional, and I don't want to give anyone a picture that if you're friendly to me, or if I'm friendly to you, I would treat you differently. Luckily, in my position nowadays, I don't have to grade them, so it's not fair for me actually. But I'd say you can still be a professional and be friendly. Of course, then you have to kind of draw the line, and the students have to know that it, being a friend doesn't mean that you have different rules.
And of course, we do have rules and norms here that everyone has to follow, and the students are informed of them from the very first day they come to high school. But also as teachers, we have to give the students information in the first lesson of each course on what their grade is based on, what kinds of things they are expected to do and to learn.
Yeah, it's similar in Norway, I would say. I also wonder, what is a typical lesson like? Because I would say in Norway, it of course depends on the teacher and the subject and everything. But if I should say like the three most typical lessons, it would be maybe the teacher have a PowerPoint for 15 minutes or something. Then there will be some exercises that they do together, like have a discussion or something. And then they answer some questions or something, and maybe the teacher summarize. That would be like a typical lesson. Is it similar here?
At least not in languages.
No.
In languages, it's quite different. And it even varies between languages. In Spanish, we do a lot of different things all the time. Of course, I do have a PowerPoint slideshow at some point, normally about grammar. But then we also take a look at the text. We listen to a text. They go through it in pairs. They do oral exercises, written exercises, whatever. Something with movement I'd like them to do, because we've got 75-minute lessons, so it's good for them to move every once in a while. And then again, in English, where they are more advanced, they don't need me as much, then they can have more independent studies. They can work more on their own in groups or even by themselves.
Okay, we were talking about lessons and different type of lessons. It depends, of course, on the subject, and sometimes also of the class. Sometimes PowerPoint is like what the class want and are kind of demanding, but sometimes it won't work at all. You have to give them lots of autonomy to make it work. For me, it seems like the Finnish school system is similar to Norway in that way, that the teacher is very much autonomy and can do what they want almost, but is there any typical teaching methods that you get from the teacher training? Like, is it For example, in Norway, it's this thing called storyline that everybody have to learn, but it's not something like that.
Well, I was studying like 20 or more years ago in the teacher training, but there are still, of course, there are some trends in the Finnish education. One thing is a hit at the, in one moment. And I think we have had those flipped classroom pedagogy a lot during the previous few years. And then also that independent study path. So how could we provide that kind of structure in our courses that each student can proceed their own speed, because some of the students are doing it faster, some slower, and how to give the some kind of feedback and support to all those students. And we have some big names like Pekka Peura model or something like that at the moment in the in Finland, and also positive pedagogy, how to create that kind of learning atmosphere that positive emotions can be there a lot.
Can you talk a bit more about that? Is it a positive psychology thing, that character strengths?
Yes,
and that
definitely. So that we are so at school, it is easy always to put focus on the things that we did wrong and on the things that we need to still rehearse and do better, and all the mistakes, we remember them very well. But how could we change the focus also on the strengths that the students have in order to make them like visible, the strengths, and practice on the, also those strengths, and in order to support some sort of self-esteem and feeling of being competent in these subjects and in these things that we do. That is an interesting question. How could we support students in that way also?
Mm.
Actually, when you talked about the individual learning path, it's something that a student of mine brought to me after this ongoing period. After, in his feedback, he expressed his wish or whatever, that maybe I could give them exercises based on the grade they are striving for. So if you are aiming at 10, which is the best, then you need to do this, 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 this. If you are aiming at 7, then you need to do this, this, and this. So this is something that I am thinking about for the coming study units.
Mm.
I think that most of the lessons here are like that the teacher is first talking for half an hour or 45 minutes, and then we have like 30 minutes to the exercises. And I find it a little bit frustrating, but for someone it can be like very good to listen to the teacher and then do the exercises. But I think that I would learn better like with just reading myself the chapter and then doing like more the exercises. But then I also never asked from the teacher that if I could do like that. So maybe I could, but I'm just suffering, and I'm normally putting my headphones on and then I'm doing the exercises myself. Yeah. But yeah.
But our lessons are 75 minutes, and for example, like in mathematics and history, the structure is pretty much the same almost in every course. So it's the teacher is just explaining the theory or a new chapter, and then us doing independent exercises. But sometimes we might have like group discussions or different types of, or like teachers try to use different types of like learning techniques, so that, for example, I learn by discussing and talking. So then I might like ask if we could do like a discussive like exercise. But I personally think that the system that most teachers have here, the, you know, giving out exercises based on the grade you're, like Katie mentioned, it's a very good like option to give to students. So we we don't have to do extra work from the subject that we don't, or like we're not interested in, and we can just from the beginning of the course, like do the minimum amount of exercises that is required, so we don't have to do any extra work, and that's nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But I think that the most of teaching methods are like based on the doing your homework and like doing some prefer for the lesson. So, for example, in history, it's like very helpful if you read the chapter before the lesson. Mm-hmm. So then you can, yeah, then it's like rehearsal when the teacher gives you that information again. And
I just want to mention now that when we have all these digital tools and we are starting using them, they give us a lot of opportunities actually to do like a huge variety of things during the lessons, and maybe different students don't need to do the same things at the same time always, but we can separate then and think about those individual study paths as well. So the digital tools are critical, are very good in that way.
Yes, and in fact, in Finnish high schools, the teaching or the material is 90% digital. Since the compulsory education was extended to cover the high school as well a few years ago, then what follows was that the students get all the material for free, and the digital versions are cheaper to the council than the paper books. So that's why in almost every subject they've got digital books.
Yeah, we tried that after the pandemic. We were like, yes, let's just go all in on the digital. But then we felt like the students were distracted by different stuff on the computers. Like, okay, they can't use their phones, but they still got Snapchat on the like Mac or something. And it's not too much happening. And if they have to work with a subject they don't like, like for some of our students it would usually be like mathematics or Spanish, and if they have to work with that and at the same time have all these distractions, then that's a big problem. So I asked the teacher, what should we do with it, and they said buy physical books, and we did, and they say it helps.
Yes, we have the same problems. Some watch Netflix, some play chess, some do whatever.
Yeah.
But I personally think that these are so old now. These are almost 18 years old, almost adults, that it is their responsibility to understand what is good and what is not for their education. And actually, starting from this fall, we've got this new rule that if the teacher has to tell the student twice to focus on the topic at hand or not to look at their phones, then they can remove them from class based on it being disruptive for the teaching. Okay, students don't seem to know about this. Although the principal told each student this during the first day.
Okay.
We're also learning about our society, and in our future coming lives, we will have jobs where we have all these distractions. Because if I'm working, you know, like in a hospital, I kind of watch Netflix on my on my computer. So like, I think that this is a good place to learn to avoid these distractions.
But at the same time, I don't know if it's, or if I sometimes sit in the back of the class, I can just see that half of the students' laptops are just the same game, like Tetris or like, you know, something else. And I get it, because the system that like upper secondary school is based on is the matriculation exams. So if they're studying a subject that they're not gonna write in the matriculation exams, then they might just play some like Candy Crush or something for the whole course. But it's like previously said, it's their own like responsibility, and it's good to learn that. But paper books are also something that I'd like, because at the same time we spend most of our days just next to our laptop, and it's not good for our eyes or anything, or just like, I don't know, it just felt a bit hard on my eyes and my head, and you know, people get migraines and stuff from the laptop, or like spending over 8 hours with it from a day. But of course there's some plus sides to it too, because it's cheaper and it's easier, and
and also when doing exercises, I think that doing copy paste from Wikipedia, it doesn't teach you anything. But if you, for example, if you copy from the Wikipedia, but you still have to write it with a pen, a paper, you can learn something. But I think that there should be some improvements, like in the, Mona said about the problem, about everybody playing Tetris and some other games. So I think that there could be more like goals given to the students, and then it wouldn't be that, or the students wouldn't be that allowed to sit on the lessons and listen to the teachers. So it could be more about like goals of the courses and exercise that we have to do.
I just had to tell about the last Norwegian prime minister is called Erna Solberg, and she was caught playing Candy Crush in government, like while she was in charge, and she just responded that she could do two things at the same time. So that's thanks for that, Erna Solberg. That's like for the teachers. That was not like the what she but I guess. It depends on the motivation as well. Nobody is highly motivated all the time. Sometimes you might need a break, but if the school is most breaks, then it's something that's not completely right either. So
last spring, we teachers were asked if we would like to have the physical books for some of our courses. And finally, we got the permission to have them if we wanted. And I know that some teachers have wanted them, for example, Russian, where you need to learn the alphabet, or I don't know, history or social studies or something. But I personally didn't want them for languages, because after dealing with the digital books, I've learned to see their potential and their use in languages, especially where you get the feedback immediately. You can do the listening comprehension exercises by yourselves or at home, so it gives you more freedom, I guess.
I guess what as long as teachers are a bit critical of what they're using and if it's actually working, I guess they can use whatever they want to. Sometimes the digital can be the best, because it's like having an assistant for every student. It can be that good, but in other ways it could just be distracting. So the digital isn't necessarily good by itself. It have to be used in a meaningful way by the teacher.
I think it's a bit like the microwave oven. I think when it was brought into the market, everything was microwaved. When you do it for a time, you notice that it's good for something, but it's not good for everything. So maybe it's the same with that material.
Ok, da har vi forsket litt mer på finsk læringskultur. For meg høres det veldig ut som at det er autonomien og friheten som fortsatt har noe å si. Det virker som det er litt minimal bruk av tvang, siden elevene kan velge kursa de vil gå i, og de slipper å bli tvunget gjennom deler av fag de ikke er interessert i utgangspunktet. Det høres ut som kan lette veldig mye, og så virker det også som at det er mye likt som i Norge, altså det er gode relasjoner som gjelder, det gjelder å skape et godt sosialt miljø, og så gjelder det også å ha et bevisst forhold til digital teknologi, litt sånn som det var med mikrobølgeovnen i sin tid. Ikke putt juleribba inn i mikroovnen, det kommer ikke til å bli noe godt. Da tror jeg vi har fått med det viktigste. Tusen takk for at du hørte på. Bli med oss neste uke også, så høres vi.
Et bedre Skole-Norge. Skole-Norge.